talk about the new K development, K desktop environment 4.1.
Yeah, hi.
So I'm Sebas and I'm a KDE hacker. And today I want to tell you a bit about KDE 4, where we've been, where we're going. Let's start off with where it all started. That was in 2005 in April, there was a meeting in Berlin and it was called Appeal. And that meant that different people, graphics artists, usability peoples, and software developers came together and they talked about the future of the free desktop. Appeal was the beginning of KDE 4, really. So those people in Berlin, they defined a vision. The new free desktop should be easy to use and beautiful. It should be powerful, and above all, it should be free. So how do you accomplish such a project? How do you go from a vision to some tangible software you can actually start to use? First, you need to build foundations for it. So we started, and it cost about 2.5 years, a bit more than that, to put the foundations into place to build a new desktop. Those foundations are Qt4 and Oxygen on the graphical side. And Qt4 was pretty new at that time, and it meant it is much more modular. That means that you do not have to use X11 when you want to use Qt. You can use the Qt network classes if you want to write an application. At the same time, all the painting in Qt has been redone. There's now different backends for painting. For example, you can paint through XRender, you can paint through OpenGL. It also means that you have anti-aliased graphics everywhere, and that you also have ARGB, so translucency, in your graphics everywhere. For some things that involve a window manager, this also needs compositing. And Qt4 right now also means lots of SVG usage, technologies such as WebKit. So it's growing and becoming a more and more complete platform while still being modular. So you really only use those parts or load those parts that you actually use. Two KDE technologies that are really central to this vision Appeal has are Phonon and Solid. Phonon and Solid actually have a lot in common. They're both built to build platform-independent libraries. Phonon is a multimedia backend in KDE. It's basically a small, very simple wrapper library around different multimedia systems. So right now, for Phonon, we have backends for GStreamer, for Xine, for Direct Show on Windows, and for, what's it called on Apple? Good. Quick time, right. So those technologies make it possible to easily use hardware and multimedia content in your applications. So this chapter of building the foundations was basically found its first real milestone in KDE 4.0, which was released this year in January. In KDE 4.0, we said, the libraries are now stable to use. We won't change stuff until KDE 5.0, which means if you write an application now against the KDE 4.0 libraries, you will not have to recompile it until you want to use KDE 5.0. So we basically everything from this point on is backwards compatible. This is a huge commitment. This means we're very confident of this API, and we're very confident that it scales well and basically helps us going into the future. You see, KDE 4.0 was also the first release of Plasma, which at that point was not quite so mature. Actually, it was the least mature part of the whole desktop, and it was also the most visible one. So it's kind of tricky to communicate what this release really means to us when people are, oh, looks like shit. Also, not all applications are ready. When you build the foundations, you need to port the applications on top of it as well. So one of the big missings in KDE 4.0 was that that there was no KDE PIM, which means mail client, organizer, address book, all that kind of stuff. So that was not there in KDE 4.0. We had that, and we had this. And now, 3 weeks ago, we had KDE 4.1, and there were really huge improvements made all over the place. KDE 4.1 means, let me find the right paper. Right. Lots of improvements in Plasma. We can now use in Plasma new features in Qt. So we can, Plasma is basically a huge canvas, and now we can embed applications and application widgets in the canvas. That has just been made available in Qt 4.4, which was released in May. So we needed to change a couple of things internally on Plasma, and now we can use all the layouting, the widgets, style sheet stuff that's actually in Qt 4.4. Really nice, saves us a lot of code. Also, fixes all over the place. Of course, you know, we've got many more people saw our applications and libraries, and I said, okay, this does not work really yet because they're the first user. So we started fixing those things, and we're much more confident in our libraries right now that they're actually not only stable in terms of API, in terms of interfaces, but lots of bugs squashed. We have 19 new applications. That new also means ported from earlier KDE versions, which is really a lot. And then we have, as I said, new features all over the place. Those new libraries now trickle down into the applications and make it actually very, very easy to, for example, embed multimedia content, use information directly from the web through WebKit and Qt's network classes. And, well, people have been busy bees, basically. And also, we released tech previews for three new platforms. Open Solaris, I saw here as well. I'll try to get a t-shirt later on. But we also released tech previews of some applications for macOS and Windows. And this is now solid, and Phonon with their different backends are starting to pay off. Okay. So new platforms, they're right now in tech preview stage. We still need to sort out a couple of problems, such as we need a hardware backend for different things on Windows, such as Bluetooth, such as power management. And the developer community within KDE who works on Windows is still pretty small. It's like five people, maybe. But they're doing an awesome job. And I think last week, FreeBSD packages for KDE 4.1 became available. And I also heard that more conservative distributions such as Slackware are picking up KDE 4.1, and it's really great to hear. Most important for me, though, is the growing community. In the last 6 months, we saw that 166 new people wanted to join KDE development, and awesome. That's 166 people that say, this is interesting. I want to work on this, and not just a one-time patch. We only give SVN accounts to people that say, I'll be there for an extended period of time. So who wants to see more black slides with white letters? So yeah. I prepared a demo. In fact, I prepared a short story in front of a long demo, which you just heard. So, in KDE 4, we introduced a couple of new new applications. This is one. Is this? Can everybody see this? Okay, this is...
Which wall?
Okay, can someone please turn off the light for me, then I'll just go on until that happened. So, our new file manager is Dolphin in KDE3, and earlier we used Conqueror for file management and web browsing, and that gave us headache to get right in the user interface. Basically, it meant sometimes you have buttons with... Thanks, Dynamo. He's a KDE hacker. He can push buttons. Using a web browser and a file manager in the same applications brings lots of funny, interesting situations, such as you want to change toolbar buttons depending on in which mode this application is in. And you end up with really huge configuration dialogues and need to find the right things in those dialogues. So we wrote an application which is optimized for file management, and we kept Conqueror in place to do also both paths. So right now, we default to Dolphin as file manager, and you can still use Conqueror if you're used to that. Dolphin is, I really like it. I use the command line less and less now we have Dolphin. So basically what you see is we have a sidebar on the left and an information bar on the right and a large pane. Of course, you can change how you want this to look like. So it's really flexible. So the places bar on the left actually gives you access to your directories. And it also brought a USB stick. And it will also show you removable devices, so you really have the things you will need at your fingertips. Okay, there we go. So we now get a notification that that the USB stick has been plugged in, and we also see it over there. So the nice thing about let's see. This sidebar is not only available in Dolphin, but we also have it in all our applications. So right now, if I want to save or open something from my USB stick, it's not a big deal. There's a capacity indicator for that thing. This is new in KDE 4.2. At the same time, if something crashes, this is not KDE 4.1 running. This is a trunk version, which will become KDE 4.2. So we're already well on the way into the next release. Developers always live in the future. Sounds exciting, but it just means that your software is unreliable. So, as you see, I can very easily interact with removable media through this sidebar. It also updates. As soon as I put something in one sidebar, this is a model view thing. All the other sidebars change at the same time. So, who in this room uses double click to open files in a file manager? Surprisingly little. How many people saw their mother clicking twice on links in web pages? Okay. So we thought about that, and the basis is that the interfaces are inconsistent. Opening something in a web page is a very different thing from opening something in a file manager. And we don't think it's true. We turn it the other way around. So why no single click in file managers? And it's simple, because when you try to select something, It will not really select it, but you know, it opens it. So if you want to select multiple files, you keep opening them, and it's really clunky, or you have to use the keyboard to do that. And what we implemented is, you see in the top left corner of the selection, you see this small green cross. And if you click on this cross, it selects. And this way you can also... Yeah, that works also in the detail view. So then you basically have the whole icon as hit for that, and if you click the file name, it will open it.
It's completely non-intuitive. That is why I downgraded to 3.5, because I didn't understand that. You reverse the double-clicking feature. This is now double-clicking first
exactly. I think it's not even default. So, but we can, of course, discuss this later. So this is one of the things we tried to solve in a way. And by the way, I don't agree with this that it's not intuitive, because it's we did a lot of UI cleaning up, and that meant we don't want to remove features. We want a cleaner UI, so we have to put features in the right place. And this is just one example of context-sensitive information we're putting into the interface. Sorry?
If it's the first file you want to select,
yeah.
Does the plus also come up?
Yeah. Because
how do you select the range of files now?
We didn't change anything with respect to that. Right now I'm clicking Control, so you can do this. You can deselect everything. And you can use those buttons additionally. So most of the icon is actually still opening it, but you get this this small indicator that if you click there, then something else will happen, and it's you get direct visual feedback to that. So I think it's pretty good. Definitely improves my way of working with it.
Is it a feature only of Dolphin, or would it also work in Conqueror and other dialogues?
Dolphin actually uses a component technology that is called kparts, and that means that we have this file system view not only in Dolphin, but we also use it in, for example, the file open dialogs or in Conqueror. So we only do this kind of work once. Yeah, you can do that, but I'm now in single click mode. So if you switch back to double click, then I don't know. So you mean double clicking on the plus icon?
No, just double clicking on the
icon. Oh yeah, then you probably open twice. Yeah. But
yep.
Right. Okay, I was talking about context sensitive actions. And the same is true for GwenView, which is the new image viewer. There was also a version available in KDE 3. Right now, we have GwenView as default image viewer in KDE 4. So you see, I've got an overview of different images. And here again, you see when I hover an image, I get a couple of actions directly where the image is. So it's not like I'm busy working in the top left corner and suddenly something over there changes and I go like, what happened? And of course it was too fast. So now we have those context sensitive things. So you can basically read through your images. Okay, this needs to be rotated, this needs to be rotated. And you just walk through it and click on it. And at the same time it cleans up the user interface, because we do not need those buttons in the toolbar as well. We also have the sidebar in GwenView, which offers a lot more. I'm not sure, this is probably not readable.
Is it?
Okay, we have options like those rotate options in the sidebar, but we can also copy, move, resize images. So the image viewer also allows for basic image operations, which are very common. You don't want to start up large photo editing applications, only, you know, to resize the photo for your blog. Can we, I'm afraid we might run out of time this way. Can we put questions to the end? And I'll
sure.
promise I'll leave some time.
Sure.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so context-sensitive actions and a more dynamic user interface are really important points of Gwen view. And got a full screen view. You get a toolbar with that, so you can quickly, you know, browse through your images. It appears when you move the mouse there, so full screen really stays full screen unless you you want to browse images. Or this thumbnail bar is also available in the image view. So what you actually see here is we have a pretty powerful basic image viewing applications with a fairly clean UI. The configuration dialog is understandable, but you can do a lot with this application, and I think GwenView shows really well what usability can do. Usability is often understood as you are removing all the features I want to use. We thought about target groups. We said, okay, most of our users are not idiots. That doesn't mean that they do not want to have easy-to-use user interfaces. So we tried to combine that, and we came up with ways to put the features we need into in a smart way into our user interfaces. Okay, everybody is talking about integration of the web, integration of online content, and so that what we think about is web browsers are actually awful interfaces for a lot of applications. You have very complex applications in a website, and then you have back and forward buttons. And what we are trying to do is we integrate content from the web. We do not really integrate web pages, but we make it easy for application developers to use online content in their applications. One of those examples, which is also, I'm always getting beaten up when I do not demo Marble, so here you go. Marble is a desktop globe. And this is the first time you see it in this presentation, so there will be a second time. So we have a globe with. This is not hardware accelerated. This works basically through optimizing the shit out of the code. And it only took the guy 3 years. So yeah, this doesn't really look very interesting. What we can do is use different overlays. So here's an overlay which actually shows the Earth and clouds. In the future, we might be able to use real-time information to render the clouds onto the globe, so you can just zoom in and see if it's sunny over there or not. Sorry? Already? Okay. Dynamo just said it's already in there. Can check right now. So we have different overlays of that. The first thing I thought about Marble is, wow, this guy is putting a lot of work into something that is, in my opinion, really a niche thing. I don't think it is anymore. It's really an amazing application. It can be used in. So here we've got a temperature overlay for this application, so it's also very for climate researchers, for example. And then my favorite overlay is, where is it?
Yeah.
So this is information from the OpenStreetMap project. OpenStreetMap is basically a large bunch of people all over the world with bicycles and GPS receivers that try to map the whole world and make the data freely available. And that fits really nice in how many people inside KDE think about data and web services, that not only the software should be free, but ideally you should be able to use free data. And I think the OpenStreetMap project shows really well what those benefits can be, namely that it makes it really easy to build new and cool applications based on the data. So large parts of Europe are mapped already. It's growing all the time. You don't need any upgrades. We get the data directly We get the data directly from the OpenStreetMap servers. So more people using their bikes and GPS receivers, and your card material will improve. So those were three applications, and most of the things that you've seen until now are in KDE 4.1. A couple of small things aren't, which I could not really hide until now. I invite everybody to walk by the KDE booth and just have a look at how the desktop behaves and looks like right now. I've brought with me a relatively light machine, an Intel Atom processor with 1.6 gigahertz and one gigabyte of memory. So it runs on that machine. It's over there. Set up with KDE 4.1. Try it. See if you like it. Okay, Plasma. I'm a Plasma hacker. That's why I like to talk about that. So in KDE 4.0, as I said, Plasma was fairly limited. In KDE 4.1, I think we addressed most of the needs of people wanting to use this new desktop shell, and a bit more. So we, for example, we built a new panel controller. I've just unlocked the desktop, means that I can change all kinds of stuff. I usually keep it locked so I don't end up changing things on my desktop while I just want to do work. So for example, the panel. There's a couple of people around that I do not understand. They put the panel in the middle, and then they have huge spaces on both sides, and that basically means that you lose a lot of very useful spots on your desktop. So for those people, we built a panel controller that basically works a bit like a word processor. In earlier versions of desktops, we saw that you get those nice spin boxes and that you can have your desktop at exactly 49% of the width, your panel at exactly 49% of the width and pixel precision everywhere. But you end up reiterating the setup process all the time. So you set it up and you apply and no, not quite there. And you keep doing that. So we tried to shorten this setup feedback cycle a lot and came up with a very visual way of setting up the panel. It looks a lot like a word processor, actually. So you can just drag and drop the border of the panel controller. You can say, OK, I want it centered. And you start resizing it, and then it goes bonkers. So basically, you're now able to set your panel in the size, position, alignment, and right. And normally, you can also drag and drop it. We're right now doing panel auto-hiding, and it is already half in there, so a couple of things might not work at this point. Again, this is the development version. You get this panel controller when you click on the small Plasma icon on the left of the panel. It's over here. So as I said, I want it large.
I have. Oh, wait. A line, and then.
So yeah, if you want to see if those bugs are also in KDE 4.1, walk over to that machine, reproduce it, send us a bug report, and we'll fix it. It's that easy, really. The code base is completely new. That means it's we still know it quite well. It's still fairly clean, so it's also easy to find bugs in it, which is also the reason why we dumped Kicker and KDesktop from KDE 3.5. Okay. So what is Plasma, really? Plasma is applets and containments. We try to boil it down to the very, very simple concepts of having something and having something to put something into. So containers are, for example, the whole desktop as you see it, and the panel is also a container. What you do is you put applets into containers, and the containers take care of layouting the applets and sizing the applets. You see, if I resize the panel, what the panel actually does is it says, okay, I've got a bit more space, and tells the applets, okay, you can now use this space. And then the applets are like, cool, I can use this vertical space, so I need this kind of horizontal space, and then everything looks gorgeous or not. So layouting of applets is actually much, much easier if you do it on the desktop, because then you can just put applets wherever you want. A lot of people tend to store files on the desktops, and that didn't work really well in KDE 4.0, because we had all kinds of independent small applets representing a file. And we took a look at the real workflow involved with that. And it turns out that very often this, just like people working in their offices, they go somewhere, take a file, put it on their desktop, start working with it, and as soon as they're finished, they're closing everything and putting it back. And then there's a lot of people who use the desktop as a space to put files. The human brain is actually very, very good at remembering where things were. You won't imagine that when you're looking for your glasses in the morning, but it really is this way. So a lot of people say, okay, I put my work files on this part of the desktop, and I put my movies on that part of the desktop. So what you actually do is grouping files. And we found a way to make that a bit more visual and to make it harder to clutter up your whole desktop if you, you know, happen to copy 200 files into the same location. That in that case, you would get a scroll bar in the folder view applet. The folder view applet is a view to your file manager, basically. It allows you to use a part of your desktop in very much the same way as you would use your file manager. So how does this workflow of opening a file, putting it on your desk, working, and putting it back work in KDE 4.1? So let's walk over. I put my documents on the desktop, say, okay, I want a folder view over here. And then you have your files. You can give it more or less space, depending on how you want it. So you can have different directories put on your workspace. It makes it, for example, a bit easier to separate different tasks. Very little people only work on two or three files. Not right now, but we're also working on that. So preview does not work in the folder view currently. But yeah, it's something that annoys me as well. So basically, you can have as many folder views as you want on your desktop, And the folder views use KDE's KIL technology, which means that everything is also network transparent. And as I have an internet connection, I can actually Pino is my machine at the office back home. So here we can just interact directly over the network with the files on our desktop. What we can also do is only show certain types of files. Like, for example, let's see. So if I only want folders displayed, I can put a filter on this view so you can. Match. So I can have a look at that, why the filtering is not quite there yet. So you can say, OK, I want only PDFs from this network path shown on my desktop. For those people using LaTeX, this is probably a godsend. LaTeX has the nice tendency to put 5 temporary files per file you're editing in the same directory. You can filter this out easily. So lots of file interaction with a desktop. Here's a small dictionary. That's pointless. So here we again use data from the internet and directly embed it into our applications. One of my favorite applets is the Notes applet. And I really use this a lot. I'm working on a document, and then someone says blah, blah, blah. And it looks like this. I'm full screen reading articles from a couple of years ago. And then I just open the dashboard, which is basically an overview, an overlay of the Plasma shell on top of everything. And I get quick access to all the applets and can interact with those. And we got lots of applets already. We have a small calculator applet. We have a calendar with lots of clocks. And most importantly, we have Chuck Norris. So. OK, apart from what he has to say right now, the interesting thing about the Chuck Norris applet is that it's using WebKit. So right now we have a small web browser JavaScript interpreter embedded in the Plasma desktop. And this was not a KDE developer who came up with this. This is actually a macOS dashboard widgets, which we can run natively right now in the KDE Plasma shell. That's also support for Google Gadgets coming up. And so Plasma allows us to put in different sorts of applets into the desktop, so we don't need to write everything ourselves. Speaking of writing everything ourselves, most of the applets right now are written in C++. This is a very nice language, but it's also pretty complex and probably overkill for a lot of those small things you want to do on the desktop. We have at Academy worked on, Academy's our yearly conference, which was just last week. We've worked on a JavaScript API, so you can use JavaScript to write small applets for your desktop. We actually have 2 JavaScript APIs because one is not enough. There's a real reason for that. We have one very limited and simple API that is basically totally secure because you cannot get at files, you cannot get at certain operations. We have very tight control on what you want to do in those applets. And then if you, as a JavaScript plasmoid applet developer type of person, decide, I need more power, and you can use a full API, which is less secure. You can also use Python, Ruby, I think C Sharp, and interestingly, the Falcon language. So, applet development made easy. We already have a lot of applets, and we are also thinking about the security implications of all that. Let me see. Yeah. And again, of course, integration of online content with a Twitter applet. We also have a, there you go. A nice RSS applet. And yeah, that's lots of applets and very little screen space. So we've introduced the concept of activities. It's not completely done yet from a user interface point of view, but who has heard of the zooming user interface before? The zooming user interface. It's I think it first appeared in a book by one of the first Apple people, Jeff Raskin. He said, well, how about you zoom into certain activities on your desktop? You put applications and documents together in a certain space. I already said that the spatial memory for human beings works really well. So how about I have a huge desk and put my work things here and put the books I'm reading over there and have different things over here. So we started implementing that. And again, we get funny layout. So what we can do is we zoom into a certain activity. An activity for me would mean a couple of applets, maybe RSS feeds of who's committing code in the places where I work, notes, this kind of stuff, maybe small overviews with what email is related to this. Then we, at 5 o'clock when we stop working, yeah, right, just change to different activities where our social life is displayed, Twitter, RSS, contacts I can chat with, that kind of stuff. So basically, lump applications and applets together into something you do. And then you zoom in and zoom out on those activities. So here's a really basic first implementation of that. And we're looking into combining this with compositing stuff. For example, in our window manager, we have the overview over virtual desktops here, and this really fits in nicely with the concept of activities. So we're trying to marry those two. This is 4.2, maybe 4.3 material to get it really working nicely. But you can already use it. The shortcuts to switch between those activities work already pretty well. So, yeah, and it works really well on desktops already, but let's see. Okay, we have those devices. This is a Nokia Internet tablet, and Nokia was friendly enough and donated 150 of those to KDE developers. And it didn't take really long to get KDE also running on those internet tablets. Those have, I think, 400 megahertz ARM CPU and 128 megabyte of physical memory. It runs okay. It's not yet very fast, but then Trolltech is or the Qt developers are working very, very hard on optimizing Qt Graphics View, so we get a really, really fast canvas to put Plasma on top of this. Funny thing is that the Enlightenment Foundation libraries, you know, one of the other desktops, have been ported to use Qt, and it has just been committed yesterday, the first Plasma applets that are using the Enlightenment Foundation libraries, and with it, lots of cool animations, tricks, and graphics effects we can now start to use in Plasma. So it's very exciting to work on Plasma right now. This is one of the mobile devices we started working with, and the OpenMoco phone is another one. Again, it's not really fast yet, but it shows that platform independence is not just lip service. So I promised that we would have some time left for questions, so we can start now with that.
One question about Plasma and the distinction between Windows and Windows and Plasma on one side, or actually Windows versus Plasma applet. Secondly, the same question about desktops and workspaces. What's really the difference of all that? I understand that for using BMP's dashboard, you need to have a distinction. But isn't that just logic for user interface wise, not just another layer that you can look at and want to look at more often than other layers? And why do we have now four dimensions basically that are just not orthogonal-like dimensions, yeah, but completely different?
Yeah, understood. Agree. Working on that. That's the short version. You're right that applets are basically some kind of windows. And why do you have a window manager? Why do you have applets? What's the difference between those? Well, there's a technical difference, of course. So we're putting work into blurring the lines between what's an applet, what's a window. That's, on the one hand, a step that we are able to integrate widgets into the Plasma surface. On the other hand, that we need to make those things behave just as Windows do. We're not there yet. It's a bunch of integration work. It's lots of small solutions to this one big problem. But it's definitely on the radar to get this sorted and more clear. The short answer is I don't know. The promising one is somebody is working on a different implementation of the thumbnail viewer, which extracts the thumbnails from the images metadata. How this is solved technically exactly, I'm not sure. We do rely a lot on Qt there. I'm sure as soon as there's more than one person who wants to implement a thumbnail viewer or support for different image types, someone will come up with a small interface to make that really easy. This is, yeah. More questions? The alternative would be I've got a couple of unstable applications I could show.
Just a short question. Is there support for XSLT in Conqueror by now?
I don't know. It might. Sorry.
As far as I know, not in HTML, but in WebKit.
It might be in WebKit. So. Oh, sorry. One, two, three. Okay?
Is it possible to sort the icons in the panel?
Yeah. It's
you open the panel controller and start dragging things around. Oh, in the taskbar itself, not yet implemented, but taskbar grouping is one thing that is right now being worked on.
How much resources is it needed for desktop version?
Sorry?
How much resources?
Oh, I would say it will, oh yeah, two things. It runs acceptable on 265 megahertz and 902. It runs fine on an EPC. It runs quite okay on a MAMO device. So, oh yeah, the most important thing, it degrades nicely. So if I got a huge machine which with a nice graphics card, then you will get all the bling. If I got a lighter machine, it's you can just switch off a couple of things and it will still work nicely.
Is there any plan for maybe already implementation to make some of the widgets accessible with a lock screen context? So
cool. Nice question. Thank you. I've actually been mentoring a Summer of Code project which does exactly that. This is a screensaver. And I have a Plasma applet on this where I can, for example, I'm stealing your laptop.
And that works with pretty much any
widget? Yeah, basically this is just a Plasma on a screensaver. We're also working on auditing the applets, saying, okay, this applet is allowed to run on a screensaver. But basically, you cannot change it right now. You can only use the applets. This way, you could, for example, also put a controller for your media player, say Amarok, on the screensaver and not have people look into your emails while you want them to just turn down the volume. Well, yeah, basically key input is blocked by the screensaver, of course. And I was able to type, so I guess it works. So widgets on the screensaver is also something which was fairly easy to do with Plasma. And yesterday I had a look at state of a couple of applications which I'd love to use in a KDE4 version. This is K3B, so basic porting has already been done. Someone told me it would crash when you start to burn a CD, so it's still work in progress. And right. This takes a while to start up. I've got this new 12 megapixel Digicam. So. We have, I'll show you KRunner in the meantime. It's a small command line interface we can use to start applications, as you saw. And we can also use it to run through your bookmarks. I've just written a small plugin for KRunner that searches your web browser's history, that can start sessions for your document editor, and another one which searches recent files. And this KRunner is plugin based. We have lots of cool things that you can do with this small command line interface, such as
calculate.
So basically, teach the computer how to understand you. One of those plugins is maybe 40 to 50 lines of code. Tell him, okay, match this and do that if it matches. And everything is threaded and animated nicely.
I see that you have done a lot of work on your desktop. The one thing that surprised me a little bit when I tried to open KDE4 was that the things inside of the window pretty much were like, they used
Yeah. Actually, we're working on human interface guidelines, and as those human interface guidelines become more complete, more mature, more well known to the developers, you know, this takes some time to trickle into the developers. The really important thing about that is that with KDE 4, we've really integrated usability and artwork into the whole development process. So it's not only hackers, but it's basically all kinds of people who are interested in creating a really cool desktop. So it's getting better. Just in the last week, we have I think fixed all label alignments in KDE base. So huge thing.
It's more French, but something that I noticed in the KDE save file dialog is, and I sometimes save files with a similar name to an existing file, and I just want to use the existing file, click on it, and then rename it, and then save it. And all of a sudden, it has changed the behavior that it tries to save the file with the name that it's clicked on.
Can you file a bug report? Thank you.
We get a new.
So I've got 2 minutes left, and I really needed to show the two really cool things in DigiCam. This is a search based on a small sketch. So you can have your index. You can just wait. So you paint something, and then it finds images corresponding to what you've been painting. So yeah, I tried a sunflower, green. This actually works really fast because it indexes your images once. It took 20 minutes on a folder with a couple of hundred images. And then it basically finds images within 1 or 2 seconds. And it's really fun to use. And also marble, close. Geotagging in photos is coming up as well. So ideally, you take your internet tablet, plug in your camera, everything gets tagged with your current GPS information, and you just sync it to your desktop computer when you're at home.
Are these attributes global then?
So yes. So everything is global. It's not local to one application. Can come over there and we'll answer any questions. Thank you very much for your interest. I hope you enjoyed the talk.